Okay, I'm now being recorded.
All right, so anyhow. Okay, so you have your Bibles ready. We can look at some of those verses. So first off, ladies, let's consider how the world defines loving your children. How, and just speak out, raise your hand. How does the world define loving your children? Any thoughts? No right or wrong answers. Just what do you think?
Providing for them.
Providing for them. Okay. Yeah. Maybe making meals. Doing laundry.
The person that popped into my head is when grandparents give your kids sweets.
Okay.
And, like, just gorge them with food.
And then give them back to you or with all sticky hands and going two cavities and whatnot. Okay. Caring for them, playing for them, giving them gifts, right? You know, if you love your children, usually the world says you give them stuff, right? You provide for them. You get that nice new Lego set for Christmas or the nice new dollhouse for Christmas. You that shows your love for them, right? And those are fine. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts to your children, just like the Lord gives to us. But frankly, you know, as Christian moms, as moms who desire to love the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what does Scripture say about how we should love our children? And one of the things we looked at is, or one of the things that I actually looked at is that, you know, children are a gift from the Lord, and that's your first fill-in. Can someone read Psalm 127:3? Does anybody have 127? Psalm 127:3? If not, I have it here, but anybody have that one?
Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb of the Lord.
Okay. So it says there that, you know, children are a gift, you know, whether we've adopted our children or however children come into our lives, children are a gift from the Lord. And so we ask ourselves, I ask myself, all right, so what do we do with gifts? You know, when you get a gift, whether it's Mother's Day or Christmas, you think, wow, this is neat, you know, thank you. Or it's maybe it was something you were eyeing in a catalog, or maybe it's just something fun to have, maybe a new, I don't know, a new gadget for the kitchen or a new whatever, phone or something like that. We treasure it, right? We don't worship it, but we go, oh, wow, this is really cool. And the same thing is for our children. You know, we should be treating them with care. We should be valuing them. But more importantly, as any gift that we receive from the Lord, we're to steward it well. And that's your next fill-in. You know, whether it's a material blessing, a physical blessing, we are to worship the provider and not the gift. And we're called to steward these gifts as unto the Lord. And we're to shepherd them. We're supposed to make the most of this time, redeem that time for your children in the presence of the Lord. So then I ask myself the question, and we can ask ourselves the question, how do we do that? If these are gifts that have been brought into your life, the specific child brought into your specific life, how do we treasure them? How do we steward them to the glory of God? So let's look at a couple verses actually to do that. Does someone have Deuteronomy 6:6? Deuteronomy 6:6? Anybody?
I think the paper, there's the papers on the table.
Oh, yeah, there's...
Maybe, like, someone can grab one, and then we have it.
Do you have it? Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
These commandments that I give you today are to live from your heart.
Okay. I had a translation here that said, you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And the whole point being that, you know, the things of the Lord, God's word, were to impart to our children pretty much all the time, right? How about Deuteronomy 31:13? Anybody have that one? A couple chapters over.
And that their children have not known anything here and learned to hear.
Okay, thank you. Again, that your children should be growing up learning to fear the Lord. And then Ephesians 6:4. Anybody have Ephesians 6:4? Oh, no worries.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
Okay, thank you. So here we are, basically God's word says we can love our children in two ways, by not provoking them and by bringing them up in the instruction of the Lord. So our primary task as parents, as moms, are to instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. And so we ask ourselves, well, how do I do that? Well, instruction of any kind means teaching someone to do something, right? It's showing them how to do something, showing them the process, teaching them maybe by example. Oftentimes, it hopefully involves encouragement, you know, because you're learning something, you're teaching your child something, and they're not going to get it right the first time or the second time or the third time. So you want to encourage them along the way and say, you know, this is what I'd like you to do. This is how I'd like you to do it. So it takes time. But then we ask ourselves, well, all right, I'm an instructor. I'm a steward. I'm supposed to steward them because they're gifts to me. But what are the ways of the Lord? What does that mean? Do I just teach them Jesus loves me or what else? Well, that involves, you know, reflecting on God's word. It involves who God is, you know, who he is, who we are in him. What is God's disposition to us? What has God done for us as his children, as his daughters? What displeases the Lord? What glorifies the Lord? And so we ask ourselves, all right, so if these are the ways of the Lord, how do I impart them to my children? How do I come to know the ways of the Lord? Am I just born knowing them, and or do they automatically come home in my, you know, when I bring the baby home from the hospital, is it my take-home packet, my home? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't get one when I brought my kids home. There was no packet that told me, all right, how do I instruct them in the ways of the Lord? And, you know, I know many of you probably still work outside the home, or at least at some point did work outside the home. In whatever profession you had or still have, you were trained, right? You took classes, you went to school, you got an education, you got a degree, or you did something to learn, right, what your job entailed, right? And this is basically the same thing as moms. I mean, here you are, we have our jobs, this is our primary role that God has given us. And they are gifts to the Lord, and so we ask ourselves, okay, how do we instruct them? Well, let's look at 1 John 4:8. Anybody have that one? 1 John 4:8.
Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
God is love. Okay, and we're going to put that together with Mark 12. Anybody have Mark 12:30? Lauren?
And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you know, God is love. And our first primary purpose on this earth is to love the Lord with all our heart. And that really impressed upon me as I really reflected on my 14, 15 years or whatnot of being a mom. And that's your next fill-in, is make your meditation time with the Lord your number one priority. You know, it's kind of hard to tell someone about someone else if you don't know them, right? You can't really tell someone, hey, you know, this person, I haven't really spent a lot of time with them, but I think they're like this, and I think they're like that. You can't really do that. But if we go to someone and say, you know what, I have spent so much time with this person, they're like this, they love you, they want what's best for you. You can really impart that to your children if we know that. About who he is, who we are in him, again, spending that time with the Lord. And, you know, I know that sounds pretty basic, and you probably are thinking, how does that love my children? And I'll get to that in a minute. But getting our hearts right before the Lord first and taking care of that, which I know is very difficult to do at this stage, actually at any stage, really, really has a huge impact. And consider, ladies, that, you know, as Sandy read, you know, Christ is the source of love. And because of who we are in him, we can replenish ourselves every day. And that's your next fill-in. We can replenish ourselves daily with God's love. Really, by allowing God to transform our hearts. And that's your next fill-in. By coming before the Lord, by humbling ourselves before the Lord on a daily basis, we can say, okay, Lord, I don't have enough to make it to the next day. Or make it to the next, to the afternoon, much less the next day. So we can replenish ourselves. And, you know, as John 15:4 says, you know, abide in me, I will abide in you. As it says, I think, in James, you know, draw near to me, I will draw near to you. I mean, those are promises, Lord, you know, ladies, that we can count on. You know, we come before the Lord, he doesn't say, well, I don't know, I may be busy today, maybe I'll get back to you tomorrow. God doesn't say that. You know, abide in me and I in you. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And we can hold fast to that. And honestly, ladies, you know, as moms, our roles can become filled of drudgery, right? Dishes and cooking, if we let it, right? It can, if we let it. But we don't want to grin and bear it. You know, this is a privilege to be a mom. It really is. And we don't want to wake up every day and go, oh, okay, I got 3 loads of laundry to do, and I got to wash the dishes by hand again, or pick up another spill up, or whatever it may be. We don't want to grin and bear it. And God doesn't want us to grin and bear it. We want to have joy in our roles as mothers. And as we are joyful in our task, we will be loving towards our children. At least I know that's been my experience. Because if I don't have joy in my heart, usually I'm like, ah. You know, I'm like, oh, really? You know, I'm more, you're not as patient, probably, a little more short with your kids. But if we're joyful, we'll be able to love. And we'll have humble hearts, ready to serve, ready to embrace. I can honestly say, ladies, you know, I didn't always do that. Especially when the kids were younger. And getting back to spending time with the Lord, I don't really, as I reflected on this, I don't really think it was because of them. It was really, in other words, it wasn't because they couldn't play quietly or they always needed me. I mean, they did. I know kids do. But I really think it was more me. I always thought something else was more urgent or pressing. Maybe that quick little trip to Target because somebody's watching my kid, I can sneak out. Or maybe unloading the dishwasher or the sewing project. But I often thought, you know, I'll get to that later. So it really wasn't them. I honestly thought, well, was it really because they couldn't play quietly? Well, no, every time I had a little quiet time, I was off doing something else as opposed to taking that time and spending with the Lord. So the next point there is number 2C. It says, you know, spending time with the Lord gives us an eternal perspective about motherhood, an internal perspective. And again, you know, I wish I had taken this more seriously when my kids were younger. Nothing is wasted in God's economy, really. Even all the mistakes that I've made, that we've all made, that we will make tomorrow and whatnot, God uses all of those for our good and his glory. So don't ever think, oh, but, you know, I've already done this, or I haven't spent quiet time since Christmas or something. You know, nothing's wasted in God's economy, and he uses all that. So please take encouragement. But I can tell you that in terms of my speech, you know, maybe my attitude, maybe my responses, they weren't as gracious as they probably could have been. I mean, and I know that, especially when they were little. And spending more time with the Lord would have helped me probably to focus more on the major things, not the minor things. And think about, you know, is this really major? In the light of eternity, is this really a big deal? I think by spending more time in the Word, I would have been able to do that. And honestly, you know, if my heart was not seeking God's will every day, how is I going to carry out the responsibilities that he's given me? I mean, these are gifts that he's entrusted to us. And how am I going to steward them? How am I going to instruct them if I'm not coming to the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today with these children? How do you want me to love them? And it's really a matter of humility and asking for things that I can't really supply on my own. I thought I did, honestly, as a young mom. I thought, all right, I got it. I'm set. Kids in the car, diapers changed. I got an extra set of this and wipes. And okay, I'm set. But honestly, the majors, not the minors, I can't supply on my own efforts. I can't supply that patience when they're asking me a question for the 7th time and I really just want to put in a DVD so they're not talking to me all the time. Or I can't really supply that kindness when, you know, they just come into a room I just cleaned up and I thought, okay. I can't really supply that goodness when I'm just tired because my husband left at 7 and it's 9 and he's not home yet. And I really feel like, really, you know, I need some help. But all those things, I can't even supply myself if I don't come before the Lord and say, I need you to give me patience. I need you to give me kindness. I need you to give me goodness towards these children. It's also a time where we confess we don't have it all together. When we tell the Lord, you know, I don't have it all together. I need you, Lord. And we allow the word to penetrate our hearts, really, is the opportunity we have. I was listening to, you may have heard this or not, but Revive Our Hearts is a website by Nancy Lee DeMoss. And she has great, I would encourage you, ladies, she has great, they're only 24 minutes long. And you can go on there and just hear sermons about, not sermons, but little vignettes. Everything from motherhood to encouragement to suffering to you name it. And she is, she's very encouraging. But anyway, there was one by Holly Ellis who was a guest speaker. And she said, you know, motherhood is one of the greatest tools God uses for sanctification, you know, to mold and shape us for eternity. And I think that's true. It can be so easy, ladies, for us to fall into the world's definition. Oh, I got to go get my kid this. Or I got to go be this way for my kid. It's so easy, at least it was for me, so easy to do that. It's so easy to fall into believing lies and then becoming discouraged. Okay? So the last point there is making our time with the Lord a number one priority sets a humble example for our children. And you know what? Even at an early age, they can see that, you know what? Mom's spending time with Jesus right now. Just like we spend time with them, right? They know. I mean, they don't have to be that old for them to know when your eyes are focused on them and they have your attention, right? And they know how to get our attention, right? But they know that when you're playing house with them or playing Legos or coloring with them and you're just right there, they know that you're spending time just with them and that they're special. And for you to be able to show them, you know, this is mommy's time with the Lord. Maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's 30 minutes. They can become to appreciate, wow, you know, her relationship with Jesus is important, you know. Now, and we can't always do that, and there's always things to come up, but we can at least strive to do that. I know that many fathers take their little girls out on dates, you know, kind of thing, just, and it's the same thing. You know, it's having that date, if you want to call it, with the Lord. And honestly, I don't think I always thought, oh, they're going to be disruptive, or, oh, I can't focus because of this or because of that. And I thought, no, for 30 minutes, they can play quietly in their room. You know, or at least I should have encouraged that more. I should have tried. And honestly, if I was sticking them in front of a video for 30 minutes to go unwash or wash the dishes or wash the floor, I could do that and go read my Bible, right? It's, again, focusing on the majors, not the minors. I would even encourage you, and I thought about this, and I know this sounds may sound weird, but, you know, call an older lady. I will put myself in that category kind of thing in terms of, you know, kids being older. And just ask them. And just say, you know, if I bring my little one over for a half hour, 45 minutes or whatever, can you just play with them? You know, what a ministry they would be able to have towards you. And honestly, ladies, I would encourage you. My husband's loves coffee, so I have nothing against Starbucks. It's great. I wouldn't go to Starbucks. There's just so many distractions there. I would literally, even if you sit in your car and go down the block, you know, literally, and just have that quiet time with the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm tired. You know, I wasn't respectful to my husband in what I said this morning when he was running out the door, you know, or I need to be in the Word. So there's many creative ways, and you guys at the end, as you go through your discussion questions, encourage one another. Maybe you swap play dates. And I know you can't always do that for your quiet time, but say, hey, you know, if I bring my kids over and they can play with you, I just need an hour. I need an hour to just not go to Target, not shop online and Amazon. I just need to spend time with the Lord because I really just need to replenish myself. I'm empty right now kind of thing. So anyway, just consider that. And there are, I'm sure there are other ideas how you guys are able to do that. Listen to sermons. I mentioned reviveourhearts.com. Download them. You know, while you're washing dishes, I've done that. I put one earplug in one ear, and the kids, I can hear in the other ear. You know, anything you can. As Pastor Kim encourages, you know, fill your mind with worship. Because honestly, ladies, at least my experience has been is if we don't, it can be so easy to just spiral into discouragement and self-pity and, oh, I'm tired and he woke up from his nap and, you know, everything is coming at us. Okay, so we've talked about many times with the Lord. Our third main point is loving our children. How do we love our children? It's by memorizing scripture. Now, I know you've heard this before, just like my prior one. But I can honestly tell you that God's word, which is the sword of the Spirit, is a very powerful weapon. And I want to look at three verses. The first one is Psalm 119:14. Anybody have that one? Psalm 119:14.
In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches.
Okay. I'm trying to think if that was the one I was
looking at. Or the one in 11. We have 11 here.
Oh, okay, 11, yes, sorry.
I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
That's the one, okay. So what does it say there? You know, David basically says, you know, I have put your word in my heart, in my pocket, so that I may not sin against you. Thank you. How about Galatians 5:16? Anybody have that one? Galatians 5:16. Thanks, Trisha.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Okay. So walking by the Spirit, being in God's Word, we won't satisfy the desires of the flesh. And finally, Ephesians 6:14-17. Okay.
Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of evil.
Okay. Those of you that are familiar with those verses, it basically talks about the armor of God. And I never really thought about it, but consider this. Almost every one of them is a defensive tool, right? You've got the belt of truth, you've got the shield of faith, you've got the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. The only offensive weapon is God's word, is the sword of the Spirit. And as you think about that, you think, all right, well, memorizing scripture and having that at the ready will really help you take every wayward thought captive. And as I really thought about that, you know, memorizing scripture calms our hearts when your baby wakes up for the third day in a row and hasn't napped and everything you wanted to get done is not going to get done. You know, it helps us remind, it reminds us that, you know, God has a plan for their lives. And that every good thing, or everything that God brings into our life is for our good. Not always for our pleasure, but it's for our good. And that our discontent is really unfounded. Because as it says in Psalm 84:11, no good thing does God withhold from his children. God is not going to withhold anything that's good from us. So we really don't have really any reason to be discontent. And really, the list goes on. But I would encourage you, and again, I did not really do this, but, and I know this sounds weird, but get a scripture buddy. Decide on one verse per month. Learn it together. In a year, you'll have 12 verses. In 3 years, you'll have 36 verses. Use note cards. I know you've heard some of these suggestions before in terms of, you know, sticking them on your microwave or, you know, in the window or the mirror in your bathroom. Many of us have smartphones. Make a recording of it. Make a voice memo of a verse you really want to memorize. And I know this sounds even funny, but test each other. I don't know if some of you do that, but honestly say, you know what, Lorraine, I've really been working on that verse. Could you test me on that verse on a Sunday morning? I mean, you probably think, oh, that sounds kind of silly, but why? I mean, that's God's word. And honestly, ladies, there's two big reasons why I have learned in my life why it's important, because I did not take that very seriously as a young believer, certainly as a young mom, is having scripture in your hip pocket, and this is your first fill in there, will help you combat the lies of Satan and the lies of the world. Satan can so easily pervade our minds and just set up shop, set up home right in our hearts. And honestly, ladies, it's true, especially true when we've had a tough day with the kids, we haven't slept well, the dishwasher's broken, the hand, you know, there's a leak in the roof, whatever it is, you know, everything seems to be going wrong, at least in our estimation. And we can so easily fall into anger and discontent and fear. But you know what? When that dishwasher does break, you can say, you know, Lord, all things work together for good. I don't know why this is broken right now, because we don't really have the money to replace it. But you know what? This is for my good. Or I can say, you know, Lord, you are good. You know, Psalm 119, I think it's 68. You are good and you do good. And you're not going to withhold any good thing from me. Psalm 84:11. Or I can say, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you know what? This dishwasher's broken, but I'm thankful that I have hands and I have soap and I can wash my dishes by hand. So before we start going into, oh, I don't know how I'm going to afford this and why is this happening, and, we go, wait a minute. And we can have that offensive tool and we can say, no, I am not going to listen to that lie. I am going to choose to be joyful and choose to be thankful. Rejoice in the Lord always, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think, 16 through 18. So it really allows us to speak truth into our life. And honestly, Jesus was the greatest example of that, right? When he was in the desert being tempted by Satan, when he hadn't eaten for 40 days and he was tired, what did he do? Every time Satan came to him, Jesus was like, no. And he combated that lie with what? Scripture. He got back to him and said, no, that's not true. You know, God is good. No, that's not true. I am his son. No, that's not true. He is going to provide. But we can't do that if we're like, oh, I don't have any verses. It's like, where's my sword? I don't have anything. So that's why it's really important to have that scripture at the ready. Secondly, honestly, and as the kids have gotten older, I've seen this more and more, memorizing scripture, and that's your next fill-in, allows us to speak truth into our children's lives. Remember, they're gifts. We're to steward them. We're to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Not the ways of Miriam, you know, not the ways of Dion, not the ways of Lorraine, the ways of the Lord. So we want our children to know that what we're teaching to them every day comes from God's word. And by God's grace, hopefully we're modeling that as well. But we can speak to them and say, you know, the reason why, sweetie, I don't want you to do this is because God's word says to esteem each other as better than ourselves. Or the reason why you shouldn't hit your sister is because we want to do unto others, or we want to love our, or whatever the verse may happen to be. And so they begin to see, all right, well, it's not just mom's wisdom for the day. She's getting that from God's word, straight from God's word. Many times I think we ask them to do things or behave in a certain way because it'll make us look good as a mom. Okay, if my kid's the quiet one, then you know he'll be fine, right? He won't be disruptive. But I don't want to be correcting that behavior because of that. I want to be correcting behavior because God's word says we're to love them. And honestly, as they get older, and I've had to do this on several occasions with my older son, and there's been an issue or whatnot, I can honestly say, you know what? If you have an issue with what I'm saying, your issue's not with me. Your issue's with God's word. You know. And a couple of times when I've had to do that, it's like, whoa. It's like, you know, I'm just telling you what God's word says. I mean, I remember one example where I was literally showing him the scripture, and I said, you know, if you have an issue with this, it's not me you have an issue with. The one you're contending with is gone. You need to think about that. And that's when they get a little older and they're really sort of, you know, claiming their faith for their own, you know, kind of thing. But anyways, and show them, you know, another thing is show them how you use scripture in your daily walk. Honestly, share with them how you've had God's word at the ready to combat your fears. As the kids have gotten older, we can do that. You know, mom is discouraged about this right now. Or, you know, dad, he's a little concerned about his job because it's been really, really slow. But, you know, God's word says that he will provide. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. There's nothing, again, we may not have everything we want, but we do have everything we need. And show them how, okay, mom's going back to God's word to help her to be joyful and thankful. Okay? And that's really putting Deuteronomy 6:6 into practice, right? I'm not sure who read that. You know, when we talk about God's word, when we rise up, when we lie down, you know, all those times we're actually, they're seeing that, oh yeah, she does really do it pretty much throughout the day kind of thing. Okay, so the fourth way we love our children is pray for them. That's the next one. Now, I know most of you probably, I guess, pray for your children. And many times, you know, we pray for their salvation. We pray that they're kind to their neighbors. We pray that they would be content or whatever. But, you know, what I've learned over the years is that praying for my children actually helps me be the mom that God is pleased with. Because, and that's your first goal in there, you know what? It reminds me of my dependence on the Lord for everything. Loving my husband, having kind words for my kids, washing the dishes. You can see that washing the dishes is a big deal for me. I mentioned that a lot. Because we used to have a dishwasher, actually, pretty much for the most of our marriage, and then we moved into a house 4 years ago that didn't have a dishwasher. So I had to learn the enjoyment of washing the dishes, like 4 or 5 times a day. And especially when you're just about done, and then there's this little hand that just drops in the cup. I'm like, okay, I'm going to wash that last cup. But anyhow, whatever it is, it keeps me humble. And honestly, ladies, I remember that, you know, I can't do the things I would like to do, and I certainly can't do the things the Lord wants me to do, which are probably more important, on my own. You know, I need the Lord. You know, I'm not self-sufficient. I keep telling myself that. I wasn't even created for that purpose. I wasn't created to be self-sufficient. I was created to depend on the Lord. That's what glorifies Him. That's what pleases Him the most. When you come to Him and say, I'm done. I have nothing. Please fill me up because I've got nothing. And the kids are going to come home in 2 hours. And Lord, I need to be joyful. I want to be the mom you want me to be. Please fill me up. I was created to need Him. I was created to depend on Him. And honestly, like I said, that brings Him glory. Not a call machine or to-do list and say, oh, wow, I got everything done and I had spare time. God's not like, oh, that's really great, Marian. You're just, you know, He doesn't want that. Second fill-in is it acknowledges God's sovereignty and purpose. And actually, it reminds me, you know, I am, I'm not in charge of my kids. It reminds me of God's sovereignty and purpose for our kids. You know, ladies, God has a specific plan for each one of your children. And I've asked several times for the Lord to show me that plan, but it just, you know, I get a little bit. I get like maybe a month, maybe 2 months worth, but that's as far as He lets me see. Because I want to know. I mean, I kind of want to weed out any surprises if I can or be prepared for them, right? But, you know, we so often think that we know what's best for our kids. And, you know, for the most part we do, right? Don't cross the street. Don't put your hands in the burner, you know, that kind of stuff. But really what's best for them, I don't know. I don't even know what's going to happen at 1 o'clock this afternoon. How do I know what, you know, plan for my kid is kind of thing? But, you know, praying for our children, which really what I'm trying to say on that point is praying over them, praying them unto the Lord, I guess if I want to say it that way, it helps me embrace the fact that God's purpose for my kids is much better, it's much wiser, and it's much more loving than my ever laid out pre-planned plans that I will ever have. Because I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. Even my best plan will always have a fault. So it helps me to yield to God's molding process of me, not just them. And honestly, it's amazing how through every stage of my children's development, I've changed, and I've been molded, and I've been pruned, because God has a purpose for my life, and that purpose for my life is literally being worked out through His purpose in my children's life. I mean, they're kind of intertwined, right? They're interconnected. So the third fill-in there is, and this is an interesting one. It may sound a little funny, but praying for my children has enabled me to need my kids less and love them more. And I thought, I don't need my kids. I mean, they need me, right? I mean, they're the ones who need me to change their diaper and feed them and take them to a soccer class. I mean, I don't need my kids. And then I thought, no. And, you know, as a young mom, I realized I did, and even still today, need my kids. I need them to behave, right? I need them to mind what I say, because then it'll be peaceful, right? If they mind what I say and if they behave, I'll be happy, right? I'm not happy when they don't mind what I say, right? Or I need them to behave so that I'll look like a good mom, right? Like I got my act together, right? Or I need them to be nice, because if they're nice, then they get invited to the nice parties, right? Or if they're nice, then they'll be invited to a play date. And I realized, yeah, I have needed my kids to do these things. But, you know, I've come to learn that I need to need them less and love them more. Just love them. You don't need them to do this and need them to do that for my happiness. I'm getting that from the Lord, not from what they do or don't do. Frankly, ladies, the most loving thing we can do is pray for them. And honestly, that'll be something you can do for the rest of their lives. You know, when they're 2 and they're 3, you're loving them by caring for them. But when they're 30, I'm not going to be changing their diaper, right? I'm not going to be, well, I hope not. I'm not going to be cooking meals for them or anything like that, or unless they come over for dinner. But, you know, that's just something you can get into the habit now, and you will do that forever. Because they're always going to be your children, right? So praying for them is just something that you can do for them, and that will, in a certain way, go a long more to changing, go farther in changing their hearts than actually telling them, don't do this. Because we can't always alter their behavior. And let me tell you, when they're 14, you know, when you're in the process of letting go, I can't go in there and just change that heart. It's easy to do that maybe when you're 2 or 3, because you're thinking, okay, I've redirected your behavior, right? And I've changed your behavior, but much like we've always talked about, right? Because really what we're looking for is what? Change of the heart, right? Not behavior. So just prayer is so impactful. I can tell you, I didn't have this in my talk, but Mike, my husband, is the oldest of 6 boys. So his parents now have 6 sons, 6 daughters, which they call them 6 daughters, not daughters-in-laws, and 20 grandchildren. And they're just a huge blessing to me. Godly, godly parents, really. I just see them as my second parents. And many, now that they're in their later years, many people have gone to them and say, you know, we raised our kids the same neighborhood, the same church, they had the same friends. What is it? Why, you know, but their kids have just struggled or gotten into drugs or gone away from the Lord or whatnot. What is it? What did you guys do differently? It was the same water. It was the same everything. And their consistent answer was, you know, we didn't do anything different. We really didn't. Only thing we know we had is than the boys had, and they're all walking with the Lord, and all the daughters-in-laws are walking with the Lord, is, you know, we had grandparents. We had parents, they had grandparents that prayed for them every single day. Every day. And I can tell you that when we're vacationing with them and we're sharing a condo or an apartment with them, they start early now because there's 20 grandkids, and they go through. I'm not kidding. You probably think, oh, they skip over the youngest ones, right? Or they skip over the older ones. I mean, because I've heard them when I'm like walking by. I mean, they are on their knees, and they pray over, you know, JJ and Emily and Andrew and Amy and Rebecca and Matthew and Joseph and, you know, Abby and Ezra. I mean, they pray for every single grandchild. And honestly, I trust and I believe that God has really honored that. And so you can start doing that now as mom. And Lord willing, you'll be doing that as grandma, you know, one day. Anyways, okay, so praying for them really just allows you to need them less and just love them more. Because I don't need them to be all these things for me, Lord. I need you. You're the one that's going to satisfy all my needs, not my kids. My kids aren't going to satisfy all my needs, okay? Okay, so let's recap. So, going to the first 3 points. We come before the Lord, right? We acknowledge that they're gifts. We spend time with the Lord. We strengthen our mind. We've got our offensive weapon. We're memorizing scripture. We're praying for our children. We're realizing our weaknesses, depending on the Lord. All right, Lord, you're in charge. You're sovereign. You've got a plan for them. Okay, so what's left? That's the fun part, which is the last part, is enjoy your children. Just enjoy your children. We can delight, truly enjoy our children by choosing to be thankful and joyful. And that's the first fill in there. We remember God's promises. He's never going to leave me. Hebrews 13:5. You know, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will provide for all your needs. You know, everything I do bring into your life is for good. There's also a psalm, I can't remember it. There's twice that I've noticed it in Scripture where it says, you know, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O Lord. And I thought, wow, you know, the Lord of the universe, the God of the universe, his thoughts towards me are precious. I was like, wow, you know, and I can trust in his mercy every day. I can trust every day that I will not receive what I deserve. I deserve punishment, right? I deserve eternal separation from the Lord, but that's not what he's giving me every day. He's giving me his mercy, and his thoughts towards me are precious. They're not like, well, I don't know, Marian, you kind of didn't have a great day yesterday. No, they're always precious towards me. By doing so, by enjoying them, you know, we're cultivating that soil, that environment where love can grow, where tender love can fill your home and allow God's peace to fill our hearts. Ladies, and I'm you know, my kids are 10 and 14, but just a minute ago, they were, I don't know, 6 months and 2 years old. I know motherhood requires a lot of sacrifice at every stage. And it's hard to sustain that sacrifice without the Lord. And with so much sacrifice daily, it's so easy to overlook the simple pleasures. I mean, it really is. Again, focusing on the, you know, minors, not the major things. It can be so easy to give in to resentment, self-pity, complaining. I can honestly say at the beginning part of my motherhood journey, I was a great complainer. You know, my house is too small. My house is too this. My car is too old. Or why can't my kids do this? Or, you know, the classic one, and Mike laughed about this when I practiced in front of him, you know, a couple days ago. I said, you know, how come my husband has to work so late? Because honestly, in the early part when Matthew was little, he had a 2-hour commute to Orange County with the traffic. And I didn't have any help. My mother-in-law does not live close by. My mom was not in a position to help. I didn't really have other friends that I could say, could you come over and, you know, whatnot. But so many times I remember I'd have Matthew in a baby Bjorn doing dishes or whatever, just trying to read a book. And it's like, that's 7 o'clock, right? That bewitching hour. I can't put you down just yet because it's too early, but you're getting really tired and so am I. And so I'm like walking around, and Mike walks in the door. I'm like, psh, I am totally unbuckling out here. I mean, here, he's yours, you know, kind of thing. And I only had one. I mean, that was just one. I mean, I look at all of you that have multiples. I'm like, yeah, and it's too bad. I mean, I've never seen a baby Bjorn where you could put, like, one in here and one back here. But anyway, I mean, the point is, you know, I was focusing too much on the minor things. I really was. And I was so more prone to look at the negatives. Like, why is he home so late? Can he have a job that's close by? You know, doesn't he know that I need help? And as a result, I wasn't enjoying my children. I wasn't enjoying my children as much as I could have. So by God's grace, God is so good. God is so gracious. I have, through the years, learned these things that I've spoken to you about. And frankly, like I said, I'm still learning to enjoy my children. So as we kind of wrap up here, you know, delight in the simple pleasures. Okay, that's your next fill-in. I'm sorry. The first fill-in would be choose thankfulness and joy for motherhood. The second one, delight in simple pleasures. Okay? You know, remember they're children. They're not little adults. Many times you want them to behave like adults when they're little. They're not. They're not little adults. They're children. Allow them to do goofy things, even though it wrecks your house. Trust me. My husband is the oldest of 6 boys. And I have 2 boys. And, you know, I've learned that there's nothing wrong or weird or shameful about letting them be boys. You know, I had to learn that because there was a big age difference between my brother and my older brothers and sisters and me. So I sort of grew up as an only child kind of thing. And you know what? The running around the house with nothing on, or the running around the house panting each other. I was like, what does that mean? What does it mean to pant them? And you know, Mike was like, don't you know what that is? I'm like, no, I didn't grow up that way. No, we didn't do that in my house. And, you know, I can honestly say I'm off limits. Nobody pants is bomb. You know, I thankfully don't conduct myself in that behavior. But they do all the time. And, you know, Mike thinks it's hilarious. And the kids just, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't get it. But, you know, just enjoy the goofy things. Enjoy the goofy things. That's what all I'm saying. And I'm sure girls have their own way of being goofy as well, kind of thing. And, you know, don't fall into the lies of thinking, gosh, you know what, if they just wouldn't do that, then this would be so much easier. Or, gosh, you know, if they were more like this, this would be so much easier. But it's so easy to think that way. And remember, these are some of the other things I just wanted to share with you, is, you know, they're never too old to need affection and encouragement. Even my 14-year-old, I mean, it comes in different packages. You know, I don't go to my 14-year-old now and go, hi, you know, and because he is really taller than me. And there's just that, you know, there's that space now between Matthew and I, which I don't, you know, I don't always like because I'm like, oh, you know, but that's okay. You know, he still comes in actually and says goodnight. I will share that in this room. Don't share that outside this room because he may not want it shared with his youth group buddies, but he does. He still comes in and says goodnight, Mom. Give me a kiss. And, you know, something else that Holly Ellis said, you know, loving them, love without truth is going to foster self-indulgence and selfishness. If we're just loving them, giving them, and not telling them why, you know, I love you this way, I'm able to love you this way because God has loved me, Matthew, or God has been so gracious with me, Joseph. So love without truth behind it is just going to make them feel like, oh, I get everything I want kind of thing, you know. But at the same time, truth without love is just going to breed legalism and resentment. If you're constantly, hey, you can't do this because God's word says this, God's word says that, God, you know, that's fine, and I've talked about that at this point, but do it in a spirit of love. You know what, Joseph? Mommy struggles with this too. You know, but what does God's word say about it? And let's pray about it. So, yes, it's good to draw them, even at Matthew's age, you know, call them to repentance. You know, maybe it's a blind spot they're not really seeing. It's like, you know, Matthew, you really need to think about this. You need to think about your speech. You need to think about your attitude. Give them that truth, but do it with the context of love. Otherwise, you know, all you're doing is creating resentment, legalism. It's like, well, it's all about this. But, you know, it is about this, Matthew, but it's because I love you. Many times our little, he's not little anymore, but Joseph, he gets out of his bath and he's got this plush robe. That's what he wanted for his birthday in November. He just has this, I know, it sounds kind of, but he has, I mean, he does have Legos and everything. Like, Mom, I guess because I have one, I have a pink, like, plush kind of, you know, I don't know, warm fuzzy robe. And so he said, Mom, it's really what I want for my birthday. And, you know, he's 10. First of all, the robes that I found on Amazon are all, like, thin and plaid, flannel. You know, men don't walk around. And so I was like, okay, do I get him a girl's robe in blue? And I was like, well, that's not going to work. So I looked and looked, and like, finally I found one. And I thought, well, it only goes down below the knees, but he's 10. So for him, it should go down to the floor, right, hopefully? So he was so excited. He was like, oh, you know, and he takes his bath now. And he does. He comes out. I mean, all he's missing is that, what's that called, an ascot? Or that white scarf? Again, this does not leave this room kind of thing, please. If you're any of the Sunday school teachers, don't say, hey, Joseph, I heard about your robe kind of thing. But no, he does. He comes out with his robe and he doesn't have an ascot, but he comes out with his robe and just, you know, pocket just ready for the evening activity, whatever it is. Dinner. I mean, it's just dinner. I mean, we don't have anything special. But he just comes out and he gets on the sofa, does his reading, or, you know, comes out for dinner. And it's just the little things. You know, it's just the little pleasures. And sometimes we'll make hot cocoa, which I know is not a big deal. But for us, he's like, can we make hot cocoa? I'm like, yeah, we can make hot cocoa. And it just, all of a sudden, honestly, I don't know why, I've been blessed. It turns it into a special occasion. So I'm like, I'm good with that because hot cocoa doesn't cost very much. And I'm like, yeah, we can have hot cocoa every night if you want that to be a special occasion. And you guys do that as well. I'm sure you do or have done it in the past. You know, when you have picnic dinners in the living room, right? Or when you take dinner outside on a warm, sunny day. It's like, oh, you know, the sun doesn't set until really late. Let's just eat outside on paper plates, right? Easier to clean up. I don't have to do dishes. You know, that's a good thing for me. Or even sleepovers. My older son is on, sometimes he has basketball games at, you know, out of town or whatever. So he's gone for the weekend. So just like, can I have a sleepover? And he, most of you have probably seen, I mean, he's almost as, you know, big as I am. So you can't really sleep in our bed anymore. But we'll bring a, I don't know, what is it called, a pillow top or something like that, and we'll put it on the floor, and in comes, he's in his robe, of course, and, you know, in comes the blankets and the pillows, the stuffed animals, which all have a very special position in his bed kind of thing, and that's our sleepover, you know, so he's kind of at the foot of our bed, you know, down there, and he's 10. And, you know, another one, which Joseph has just taught me, hugs. I know that sounds really, like, simple, you know, when I say enjoy the simple pleasures, but catch them where they're walking by and just hug them. And you know what I would challenge you, ladies? Now, listen, not every kid is a hugger, so I get it. I mean, some kids are like, they're running out the door and running. They're just, you know, they're running everywhere, and you can barely, you know, give them a kiss. But hug them and then wait for them to let go. Wait and wait until they let go. And that happened to me one time when I Lorraine mentioned, I homeschooled Joseph. So, and he's old enough now. We've homeschooled a couple of years now, so he knows the morning routine. Get up, open up the blinds, make my bed, sort of. Come out, get breakfast, get my day going, start my devotions. He came out one morning, and we have a big sort of window in our living room, and it was a sunny day, and the sun was just baking that window, and I was sitting in a chair right there doing my devotion, and he just came over. He was sort of half asleep, so like, he came over, and like I said, he's not little, so he didn't, I mean, he sat on my, he more like sat on me. Yeah, I mean, he's really, he just, yeah, draped himself on me kind of thing. He didn't really say much, I don't remember, but he just cuddled, and I thought, okay. I mean, I thought, okay, this is sweet, you know, good morning. And I thought, I was looking at the digital, we have a cable box, and I thought, and honestly, ladies, it was about 35 to 40 minutes. And I'm sitting, and I have to confess, I thought, I got to get breakfast. And I thought, okay, well, I was sort of done with my devotions, but I'm really not. And I'm thinking, but I just, you know, God was so good. And he just said, Miriam, you know what? Enjoy this time. Don't move. Yeah, you have to get up. Yeah, you have to start school by 9 o'clock, and you got to do math. But you know what? There's going to be a day where he really is going to be too big, sit on me, and or he's not going to be there. You know, as Matthew gets ready to go to college, which I don't even want to think about, he's going to be out of the house, you know. So just those little times. That's all I'm saying is, and I waited until he was done. And he got up. And he wasn't, like, extra sad or anything. It's just that he was just enjoying that time with Mom, you know. Tender caresses as they pass by, you know. Of course, all the little things, like little notes in their lunchboxes, just to say, hi, I love you, you know. And encouraging words, honestly, and this is any age, even your husband's, encouraging words, hearty smiles, those things that say, you know, I'm so blessed to have you in my life. I really am so thankful to have you in my life. Because remember, they're going to be this big, and then they're going to be this big, and time is just fleeting. And yes, you know what, as they get older, give them grace. You know, they're not always going to get it, even though you said, I told them this 5 times. Don't hit your sister, you know, or whatever. And yes, we're all inherently sinners. Our heart is inherently evil. Yes, of course. But as you're working through those issues, choose to love them when they're not the most lovable. I'm not the most lovable, I can tell you that. I mean, Mike said beautiful things, you know, at the end, but I'm sure there were times where I've not been the most lovable, right? But how does God treat us? Right? He doesn't say, oh, you know, Miriam, I don't know. Not lovable today. I'll love you tomorrow. God doesn't do that, right, with us. So anyways, our last fill-in there is, and this was a book by, which I love, many of you probably have read, Feminine Appeal by Carolyn Mahaney. Just love that book. You know, she says tender love can be an instrument in God's hands. Just tender love. God can use that, ladies, for your children, for your husband, really, I mean, honestly, for your parents, I mean, anybody. So I hope you'll be encouraged to love your children by remembering that they're gifts, remembering to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Again, making your time with the Lord your number one priority, memorizing scripture, having those scriptures at the ready, and then praying for them. And then at that point, you're like, well, Lord, they're yours anyways. And I have all your promises in my mind. that's what's true, not all these lies that I'm being fed or that I feel like believing because I'm tired. So I know what's true. I know what's a lie. They're gifts. They're yours. You have a purpose. Okay, just enjoy them. Enjoy them because the time is fleeting. So, anyways, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for children. And thank you, Lord, that you know, they are just such a huge gift to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our husbands, Lord, who are also gifts, Lord. You have given us our husbands very specifically. It wasn't a random choice. It wasn't an accident. And same thing with our children, Lord. Whatever they're like, these specific children you created, and you have put them and placed them in our specific homes to mold and shape us, Lord, and to mold and shape them, both for your glory and our good. So we just, we thank you, Lord, for the joy of motherhood. I ask, Lord, that these moms would just be encouraged, Lord, to trust in you, to choose to be joyful and thankful, Lord, and rejoice in the fact that we have your word, Lord. Your word has everything we need to be the wife that we want to be, Lord, the wife that you would be pleased with, and to be the mothers that you want us to be. Not perfect mothers, but just mothers that would please you. Mothers that say, you know, I can't do it all, Lord. I am solely dependent on you. Completely dependent on you. And we can come to you and say, please, I need your word to speak to me. Please, Lord, I need you to replenish me because I'm done. I don't have any more for today. So please, Lord, I would just ask that you would just encourage these moms, Lord. Lord, I would pray specifically that whatever obstacles that may have in their quiet time with you, Lord, that you would just be gracious and just speak to their hearts, that they would make a way for that to be available to them, Lord. And they would have the desire, Lord, to memorize Scripture, Lord. And that you would be true to your promise, Lord, which says, he who honors me, I will honor, Lord. So that we would just put you at the forefront, Lord. I thank you for this time and ask that you would just be with them for the rest of their time, Lord. And thank you just for the opportunity, Lord, that you have been so gracious in my life, Lord, to just teach me and mold and shape me, Lord, as you are sanctifying me as well. So we just thank you and give you all the glory and the praise. In your name I pray. Amen. So two last things. There's a sheet that's called Memory Verses. Those are just some that I've memorized. They're not necessarily specific to motherhood, but you know, and those times when I'm tired or something's going on, those are just verses that I'm like, oh, wait a minute, uh-oh, I gotta remember. And then, yeah, there's a, I called it a personal action plan, but it's kind of questions to help you in your tables and maybe just to jot some ideas about, you know, how can I make memorizing Scripture a priority? Or sometimes, actually, I wanted to share with you, I have the old-fashioned Bible still, but this is a, happens to be a John MacArthur study Bible, but in the back, he has verses by topic. So if you want a look at all the verses on children, if you want to look at all the verses on trust, or God's character, or God's promises, or anger, or discontent, you know, what does God's word say about that? Because you know what, that's an issue for me. And I'm sure there's websites that you can go to too as well, but I mean, that's always helpful. And then the last thing, which the ladies are handing out, you know, I thought about this. This has nothing to do with what I talked about, but because they're just little hand soaps that I've made for you guys. And I thought, well, I'm not talking about cleansing ourselves or anything. I'm just talking about children. But I just thought, you know, I know what it's like to be in this stage of life where it's like give, 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 give. And it's just nice to have a little something that's nice and that's pretty and that's cute. So, anyway, so yeah. So enjoy them, you know. And they're in the shapes of hearts, so maybe that's the connection. That I love your children. After you wash your hands.
Thank you so much for
your reading. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just appreciate how
to share God's word
with us and encourage
us. That was like 3 years ago. We only made it to one lighthouse.